Today on Real Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, if blood is thicker than water, then spirit's thicker than blood. Can you confess with me that our spiritual family, we have a closer relationship in our spiritual family than we do with our physical family?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Now, most of us have heard the concept that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit, but how many of us really know how to demonstrate that from God's written word? That's what our teacher, Pastor Jack, focuses on in this presentation that takes a look at a section in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a mini-series called Jesus Christ and His New Home.
You guys, this is incredible what Paul says to a church that's carnal, to a church that's messed up, to a church that's living goofy. Look what he says to them. And he says it to us this morning, beginning at verse 16. Paul says to them, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temples you are. Let no one deceive you or be deceived himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age," that's worldly wise, "let him become a fool that he may become wise." That is, let him come to Christ and really get wise, which is the world's definition of foolishness. Verse 19, "For the wisdom of God," or the wisdom, excuse me, "of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness," that is the wisdom of the world. "And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours." Listen to what he says to them. "Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas," that's another name for Peter, "or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's." This is radical. Church, I don't know how far we'll get this morning. Hopefully I'll get all the way through, but we'll go as far as we can today. It is over the top powerful. Listen, everybody, if we get this down in our lives, if we get this truth down in our lives, I will not be able, nor will you be able, to define what God will be doing with us in short order. This is absolutely, truly radical, extravagant, over the top truth. So much so, look at verse 16. Paul says something profound. "Do you not know?" In Greek, there's a form of sarcasm. We would say, "Don't you know this?" If we were talking to somebody today, we'd say, "Come on." Or we would say, "Everybody knows this. What's wrong with you?" We might even be justified in saying, "Have you forgotten the obvious?" That's what he's saying to them. So the first thing I want you to look at in verses 16 to 17, Christian, is that your life, your very existence, is God's home, is the home of Jesus Christ. And we need to let that sink in. Honestly, just that truth alone. Need I even go any further? For us to meditate on the fact that in this, look, this carcass. In fact, as I pass through my own air right here, I can smell my cologne. Why? Well, it's first service. Pray for third. It's a whole different smell. I can smell my cologne. Why? Because as I get older, I put more on. Why? As I get older, I stink. Death is coming upon me. Okay, but as a believer, that ain't all that bad news because I'm going to go see Jesus. But no matter what I do, with my shirt, with my pants and my shoes, or brushing my teeth, whatever it is on the external, will you agree with me that we put too much focus on the external and we often neglect the internal? And the internal for the Christian is the fact that if you are a true Christian today, the Bible declares that you are a temple of God, living for God, and the Spirit of God dwells within you. You can't get a greater radical truth than that in all of the world. That trumps everything that this world can offer. It trumps everything that the spiritual issues of the world can offer. This is God, the Holy Spirit, dwelling within his believers. And the thought of it, you guys, put yourself back 2,000 years ago. How radically dramatic and strange and really unorthodox that thinking was. When you go to a temple, a shrine, a church, a whatever, what are you expecting? Now, I've been to Russia more times than I can count. And the Russian Orthodox Church has bred it into the Russian Christian, the Russian Orthodox Christian, that they can't pray unless they're in the church. The moment that they go into the church, everything changes the moment they enter into the building. In fact, in Red Square, when you go into some of the churches that are there, the former priest for 1,000 years are ensconced, are entombed in the church for their sainthood, for their saintliness. The exact opposite is with us in God. When you come in here, you are not coming in here to become some sort of a saint, and the moment you leave, you're not a saint. Oh, we want to pray. Let's get to church and pray. Hey, listen, if the church calls a prayer meeting, come and pray. But do you have to be at church to pray? Do you think God needs a temple? Did he need a temple in the wilderness, a tabernacle in the wilderness to dwell in? The Bible says no. Did he have to have a house in Jerusalem called the temple? He said no. He told David, can you build me a house for me to live in? Really? He said, I don't live in houses like you guys do. The heavens cannot contain him. But there's one thing that God has allowed himself, and this is so radical. There's one thing that he's allowed himself to dwell within and for him to declare, that's my temple, is the individual believer that makes up the church. I don't mean the building. You here right now, if you're living, breathing right now, listening, and you're born again, Jesus said, John chapter 3, if you're saved by the power of God, you are a believer indwelt by the Holy Spirit, which makes you a temple of the living God. And then when we come together, that is also considered in Scripture the temple of the living God, not the building. Think about this. God not dwelling in physical structures because those things are not permanent. I love that idea. Is anything permanent in this physical world? No. So why would God waste his time? Buildings have their purpose. We are here. We will either be air conditioned or heated. We will be seated. We will have lighting. We will have amplification. But that's it. All for this one reason, to get the word of God into you, the temple of God. So that when you leave, imagine, when you leave this building and go out into the world, this is what's so dramatic regarding this teaching. Corinthians, he would say, go out into Athens, go out into Corinth, go out into Greece and affect the world for Christ, because wherever you're going, you are the temple of the living God. And if you and I really, listen, if you and I really believe that, how would we treat one another when we talk to one another, when we love on one another? Would we insult the temple of the living God? Would we abuse it? If a father understood that his children and his wife as believers are the temples of the living God, would he be abusive? Can you imagine coming against Christ himself? Or what about our own lives if we depart from this place and we've done our Christian thing in the morning, but we're going to go out and we're going to do drugs and live it up and do all this stuff that damages the body? Think about it. God says, hey, that's my body you're messing with right there. Did you know that? The human body. God says, I dwell in those who are my children. Now, just to be safe, God does not dwell. Let's make it clear. John Lennon was wrong. The Beatles didn't have it right. Okay, God does not dwell inside every human being. The moment a person comes to faith in Christ, 1 Corinthians 12 says, the Holy Spirit moves in. Now, when somebody says, well, we're just all brothers and sisters in this whole wide world, that may be true biologically, but it's not true spiritually. Ladies and gentlemen, the blood is thicker than water, then spirit's thicker than blood. Can you confess with me that our spiritual family, we have a closer relationship in our spiritual family than we do with our physical family? Man, I don't look to my physical family for nothing. I'm not talking about my wife and kids. I mean, I'm talking about outside that. But I know that if I picked up the phone or if you picked up the phone and you called one another, you'd have help right here, right now. That's awesome. Mark this down, verse 16. He's desiring a house for himself. You say, Jack, I thought you just said God didn't desire a place to live in. That's right, he doesn't. But when it comes to you, he desires a house for himself, and it's your life. Do you know Christ personally? What an awesome statement this is. Do you not know? Paul is challenging them that number one, you are the temple of God. And number two, that the Spirit, notice in your Bible, it's a capital S, a reference to the Holy Spirit. Do you not know that the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you? The word dwells means that he has taken up a foundation. He's built it. And he's got a chair and he's sitting down in your life. How cool is that? God has taken a seat in your life as a believer. That's why you often hear me say, if you are a Christian, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And you'll see people go, yep, that's right, yep, And then you'll see some people go, what is he talking about? Man, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons and daughters of God. What a tremendous confidence that brings to us. It's a holy house, and it's a house that he desires for himself. There's two words, by the way, in the Greek for a temple, and the first one is a sacred place. It was the an actual sacred location. It's not permanent. It's temporary. And it would be, for example, the temple in Jerusalem. That word that means temporary was the word that was used for the temple in Jerusalem. And then there's another word, naos in Greek, and it means the inner dwelling of the Holy of Holies. You see, but Jack, that was on earth, but wait a minute. It's the inner part of the temple, the Holy of Holies. It is the place where God dwells. Now watch this. When a priest entered the physical temple on earth, he came through a physical structure, but the whole point, the whole goal was to get past the physical. Are you listening? To get past the physical, that's a hint. The cologne, skin. To get past the physical and get into the Holy of Holies, the naos. Because where that is at, there's a time change. There is a new time zone. You go from, say, the time zone of Jerusalem. As you walk up to the steps, you go under the temple mount proper. Then you go up the steps through the courtyard into the holy place and then into the Holy of Holies. God would allow his what's called Shekinah glory to dwell there between the cherubim. You've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark. Spielberg's got the two angels bowed over the mercy seat. Great representation, by the way. He did a great biblical job on that. Over that, God would allow his glory, not necessarily himself, because the Bible says no man can see God and live. Did you know that? Yikes. He would allow his glory to appear there. And in that moment, time stood still. It's another world. It's another universe. And that's where Jesus is inviting the Corinthian believer. And that's where he's inviting us, Christians, in this life, in this world. You and I are walking timepieces of eternity. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. You say, Jack, if that's true, then how come like light doesn't come out of my eyeballs or out of my ears? You know, how come, why do I, when I stub my toe, why does it hurt? God in you does not necessarily affect in the sense that I won't get scratched. It doesn't mean that I won't feel pain. It doesn't mean that I won't die. It doesn't mean that I won't get cancer or that I won't fall down. It has nothing to do with that. The Bible says that we possess that truth in these earthen vessels. Is that not radical? Look at who you are in Jesus Christ. That's why I believe it is such a sin for the Christian to just sit around. How can we sit around at such a time like this? How can we sit around when the Holy Spirit is inside? Have you ever seen somebody in class that's the smarty pants? You know the guy that you always hated in school? Who every time the teacher said, does anybody know what the answer to that is? Where is he? Ooh, 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 ooh. Pick me, pick me. Call on me, call on me. And then the teacher eventually just says, oh, all right, Johnny. The Holy Spirit inside of you and I is saying, oh, 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 use me, use me. And we go, sit down. Sit down, I don't want to get involved. Sit down, I might make a mistake. Holy Spirit, sit down. I don't want to look like a goofball. We cut them off. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, that's quenching the Holy Spirit. We don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. He's desiring to live within us, and he does. Listen to this, Acts chapter 7, verse 49. I'm going to give you a string of scriptures, so get ready. Acts 7, 49, God's eternal word. And this is amazing. All this truth will come to us most beneficial to the believer when we die. I announced to the guys yesterday at the conference, we're all going to die. Got real quiet when I said that. Everyone's going to die. I don't know if they thought I had to open up my jacket and I had a vest on with bombs on it or something. I go, we're all going to die. Nobody likes to hear that reality, but it's true. But for the believer, what does that mean? Graduation. Yeah. See, I've never graduated. Never completed my course. Well, if you're a Christian, you're going to complete the big one. And it's going to be good. Acts 7:49 says, heaven is my throne, God says. The earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place for my rest or of my rest? And you can all take your finger and point right to the middle of your chest and say, my heart. How radical is that? Adam and Eve never, listen, met God in a temple, did they? See, well, they met him in a garden. That's right. Wherever Adam and Eve went, there God was. They interfaced with God face to face. You guys, I heard on the news this week, maybe you saw, there's been some special programs on it. I don't mean to insult anybody, but I'm just basically quoting the program. They said America, and the world for that matter, except China. China is very committed to raising up really smart kids. And so they're going to be stepping in and limiting this. But they are concluding now that based upon current cultural means of communication, that the United States will be the world's leading producers of idiots in the world. Idiots. Idiot.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called Jesus Christ and His New Home. It's really a mini-series that takes a look at a section in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul reminds us that our bodies are temples for the Spirit of Almighty God. Again, the title, Jesus Christ and His New Home. And it's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament book, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. All right, it's time for another Ask Pastor Jack segment. And this is a good one. I got to go in for you this week. You ready?
Yeah.
This question comes from a listener in Southern California who calls himself The Train. Okay, you ready? Listen to the way he writes. I'm reading this verbatim. He says, hi there. I am an atheist who listens to K-Wave rather religiously.
That's great.
He says, I have a question for Mr. Hibbs. What is the definition of righteousness? I'd specifically appreciate an answer from Mr. Hibbs.
That's awesome. You go,
Pastor Hibbs.
Well, before I even answer that, what is with us Christians? You know, I thought you were going to lay out that question. I thought I was going to be some corny Christian from Southern California, because all of us here in Southern California are corny.
Right.
As soon as you hear that the gentleman is an atheist, uh-huh. your heart just warms up. What yep. is with that? Isn't it amazing that we love the souls of men lost in this world more than they love their own souls? Isn't it
true?
Amazing?
It's true.
Great question. And so here's the answer. And my answer, it's not going to thrill you. My answer is the Bible's answer, because it's what I believe. So I've been thoroughly brainwashed by the Word of God.
Good.
Righteousness is a fantastic, wonderful truth, and it happens this way. Number one, it's coming to the understanding that the Bible says that all of our earthly, man-made righteousness is as filthy rags before God.
Right.
We ain't got any.
Right.
Now, you might say, well, I find that highly offensive, Pastor. I try to do good things. Well, according to the Bible, we do good things with wrong motives.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing a good thing. Gee, look at me.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. The next thing is this, that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. We're all sinners, every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever we would do in the name of righteousness is in some way, shape, or form tainted. My fingerprints are on it, so to speak.
Right, right.
We see this every day. Mm-hmm. And I'm not knocking it, don't get me wrong. But when some Hollywood starlet or some Wall Street mogul gives $1 million to some project, you always notice that there's a film crew there.
Right.
There's photographs and their feet are, you know, made in, out of concrete, whatever, for their big achievement.
Right.
That's not righteousness.
Right.
Yeah, but they did good things. It's still not righteousness according to God. Righteousness is manifested in two ways. Number one, and this is radical, righteousness is imparted by God to the believer, to the person who's saying, I believe in Jesus Christ. I understand this message. God, forgive me of my sins. The moment you ask God to forgive you of your sins, he imparts to us, he stamps, he marks on your ledger, like on a computer. He highlights your name and he cancels all the debts.
Right.
And he declares you positionally righteous. Your now bank account owes nothing to anyone else. You're declared righteous. Because that's true, here comes true righteousness. Because that's true, you get to get up and go out into the world or to your family and begin to do things prompted by God that are good. Righteousness is simply the definition of doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
You do the right thing by the power of God for the glory of God, and it's through the will of God. Christians who are truly living a righteous life will be those who are doing the right thing, and they're not flamboyant about it. But why do they do it at all? Because they're coming from the place of positional righteousness.
Right.
I hope that makes sense.
Granted
everybody.
By God, right. Yeah.
Because if you don't have positional righteousness by the blood of Jesus
right.
before the throne of God,
mm-hmm.
then you're nothing but a legalistic performer of good things, which cause you to be very moral, but you'll never have access to heaven that way. So it's very important. Righteousness is doing the right thing under the influence of God the Holy Spirit, because you yourself have been declared righteous by the work of Christ. I hope that answers your question. I've done everything I can to tell you in a non-religious way, and I really appreciate your question. I tell you what, my friend, later on, go ahead and get alone with God, even though you don't believe in him.
Right, right, right.
The cool thing is, it's so cool, Train, because even though you don't believe in him, it doesn't change the effect that he's real. That's kind of fun. So say, hey, God, the one I don't believe in, if you're real, show me who you are.
Right.
And
he's never, never, never let me down. Personally.
He's personal.
Yeah, never let me down when I've asked, show me yourself. Show me yourself.
He's so personal. He's real. Train or the Train, listen. If you live in Southern California, man, this may be a nutty place. It may be a very beautiful nutty place.
Mm.
But you've got Bible-believing churches all around you.
Everywhere.
I don't know where you're from exactly. But SoCal is plump with awesome Bible-teaching churches. Find one. Or you know what? If you listen to K-Wave, come to the church someday. Meet me in the foyer after a service and tell me, introduce yourself.
Say,
tell
hey,
me,
I'm the Train, the atheist.
You come up to me and say, the Train has arrived, and
that's
we'll
right.
talk.
And you know what? I'll bet you a dollar you're going to hug him.
Amen.
Ask Pastor Jack. Email your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack@realradioactive.org.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.